Hello and welcome to Cali Outdoorsman Podcast. So this is Tyler Morris, and I'm in the truck with Brian Berg right now, and we are headed back right now from Sacramento, headed back to Ojai. We went on a duck hunting trip. So this podcast, we're just going to talk about our trip and how it went and what we did. So we started on Friday morning. Brian picked me up, and then we went up and over the, we live in Ojai, so we went over the 33, and we stopped in Coyama Valley at a couple spots to check some fields for some quail and just kind of stretch our legs before our drive. And we didn't find any birds. We didn't see any.
We didn't really try either.
We didn't really try. It was two like little spots off the side of the road. We didn't go down back in any canyons or nothing. And, but we saw signs of quail and stuff. We just didn't see or hear anything. So we did that for like 30 minutes or something, and then we got on the road. And then we got up to Sacramento around like 3 or 4 or something like that. Oh, but on the way there, we stopped at Harris Ranch off the 5. And I don't know if any of you guys have been there, but they have a special item on the menu that I hadn't tried there, but I tried when I was out in Wyoming. And then I think it's the only place that I've ever seen it besides in Wyoming on the menu. And have you ever seen it on the on a menu anywhere, Brian?
No.
So you want to tell them what it was? Because it was Brian's first time trying it. It was my second time.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Which, I don't know, if you guys don't know what those are, they are bull testicles. And they cook them, I think pretty much all that I've really heard of them being cooked is fried. But they, the ones that I had in Wyoming were like thin sliced, battered, and then fried. So they were like, almost like a chicken fried steak, but a small like coin size one. And then the ones that we had out here at Harris Ranch were like little cubes. And I don't know, they actually, they're not bad. They're not what you would expect, huh, Brian?
No, they're actually pretty good.
They, I mean, obviously it's just kind of an odd part to eat of an animal. But I've actually thought about keeping the ones on my bucks. I almost meant to this time, but I didn't.
No.
Would you eat the ones off of a deer?
No. Nope.
You wouldn't?
No way.
I mean, I'm down to try it. I haven't kept them yet, and I don't think, like, I'm not going to just, like, acquire them from somebody else. I want to get one. Yeah. I'll do it off of one that I actually get myself. But, anyways, so we stopped at Harris Ranch, then ended up going up to Sacramento. Got there in the afternoon and had dinner with both of our cousins and my uncle. And he made some buffalo burgers and stuff for dinner. And then the next morning, what time did we get up? It was like 4.
Well, I had my alarm set for 4.
Yeah.
But we didn't need to get up until like 4:20.
Yeah. I think we left at like 4:30 in the morning or something like that. And then we went out. What time did it was? They do like their blind pull at, what, like 5:30 or something like that? I think it was 5:30.
Yeah, it was like 5:30, 5:45.
Yeah, and then shoot time was like 6:40 something. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, so shoot, they give you like over an hour to get out there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they give you like over an hour to get out and get in your blind and everything. The first morning we had some complications. We had like the ranger, so the way that works out is like you meet at a kind of like almost like a camp in the middle of these rice fields, where they have like a bulletin board meeting area, and they all meet in the morning and they do the Pledge of Allegiance, and then they go over anything for the duck club, like any daily updates or anything that they have, and then they do their blind choice. Like you get to pick your blinds, and they have like an order that they pick them in and stuff. And then so after we went through all that and unloaded our, they have ranger or like anybody, they have quads and rangers and stuff or golf carts that they drive out to the specific rice fields where your blinds are at, and then you walk on what do they call those things? They're like the
checks.
The checks for each field, and it's just like as wide as like a sidewalk, little slippery, slippery walkway out to where your blinds are at. And so you drive to the field, and then you have to walk out on those things. So the first morning we got there, and we got all our stuff loaded, and we met up with, it was me, Brian, and then our cousin, Jake, and we met up with their blind partner, John, and he had his dog. How old was it?
6 months.
She was 6 months?
Yeah.
So he's got a six-month-old lab that's one of the offspring of his previous dog, who was really... really good bird dog. I think you hunted with her, right?
Yeah, Tanaya.
And then I hunted with her when she was first, I think she was not even 9 months old was the first time I hunted with her. And it was still like probably the best bird dog I ever hunted behind. So anyways, we met up with John in the morning with his new dog, and we load up, and John was on a quad and he took off, and then me and Brian and Jake were driving. They have a Polaris Ranger out there. We got all our stuff loaded up, and we started pulling away. And then, we didn't make what, like 100?
Yeah, we go.
It was like 100 yards, 200 yards, or something away from the camp. But all of a sudden, it started like sputtering, like it was running out of gas. And so it was like sputtering, like it was running out of gas. And so then we looked at the gas gauge, and it was low. So we ended up running back. We like limped it kind of back to the trailer, and we got some more fuel in it. And then something was just not right with it though, because we started it back up and it ran, but it just wouldn't go like what, over like 5 miles an hour or something.
Yeah, we got about halfway and it fixed itself.
Yeah, it was weird. It was just like in a limp mode for like half the way out there, and then all of a sudden it just like backfired, and then it decided to just kind of take off from there, and then it was fine and normal the rest of the trip. But then we get out there, and then we unloaded all of our gear and carried it out to the blinds and got all set up. And then that was when I started posting some stuff. If you guys follow on Instagram, I started posting some pictures and videos of the early morning, because it was like, it was crazy how many birds were moving in the morning. Remember that? It's like you could hear them. It sounded like almost sounded like hail on water, because it was like all the wings hitting the surface of the water when they were spooking the ducks and all the guys were driving out. So it was pretty crazy, because you can't really see anything yet. It was all dark, but you could hear all the ducks moving and making noise. It was pretty cool. But then that morning, we started off horrible shooting in the morning.
We didn't start off horrible. We started off horrible, yeah. And we ended horrible.
Yeah, I know. But the beginning, I mean, we didn't even drop a duck, I don't think, until like 8 or 9. It was later in the morning, and I think at that point we were.
You know what
both
sucks
like,
is once you miss, and you're like, I shouldn't have missed, and you miss again, it gets in your head.
Yeah, it really does.
Well, and then the pressure's on. It's like, damn.
Yeah, then you start stressing yourself out about the next shot. But we probably went through like a half a box each before we actually started dropping some bucks. And then we ended up getting, I think the first one was my first duck, wasn't it? That went down. It was a, I don't even remember what
that
remember. One was. Because I was the one, remember, it fell all the way across the whole check.
Yeah.
We're over on the next check over. But anyways, we had a rough morning, and then the fog rolled in. Remember that? It was like, yeah. The fog was there for like, what, an hour or two? Because we ended up, when the fog came in, we couldn't really hunt. It was too thick. Nothing was moving. We couldn't see anything.
Because the birds stay above the fog
line. Yeah, they were above the fog line. So we couldn't see anything. So we ended up kind of taking a break from hunting. And went and pulled some decoys, because we actually got to hunt in my cousin and their partner's home blind. So it's the one that they set out all their decoys in and stuff. So because we were able to hunt that blind, we ended up pulling a bunch of their decoys out of the out of the field there because they had. Shoot, we probably didn't even take half of them, huh?
No.
Of the decoys? I don't even think we removed half of them. And they had three huge decoy bags that we filled up. So we pulled a lot of decoys, and they have a ton of decoys out there, though. But anyways, so we did that, and then kind of just hung out and waited until the fog cleared. And then the fog was there until, like, 11 or something, wasn't it? Or 10:30? Until it finally started to clear up a little, because we only had, like, a little over an hour on left the shooting. And then John actually got two geese. I think that was kind of right when the fog was lifting, wasn't it?
Yeah, the fog started to lift about 11 o'clock at 10:30, 11. And then then more ducks started to come in.
Yeah. And then they were able to. It was funny, though, because the two geese that we got, we had gotten a couple of the speckle bellies to come down, but we never got them within range. And then super randomly, we were like watching other ducks.
John got them to come down.
Yeah, John got them to come down. But he worked them and was able to get them to come down, but then they never actually like got close enough to shoot at. And then the speckle belly that he did end up getting was a super random, like, low flyby. Like, it was just a single goose that went by. And then he went and his dog went out and retrieved it. And then as she was, like, getting put back in the box, then the snow goose just came by. It was another single one that just came by super low. And so John was able to get that one, too. And luckily he did, because
we would have missed.
We probably would have missed at that point. So he ended up getting two geese, and then I got two ducks that day. I think John had another duck. He was primarily calling for us, though. So, and handling his dog, training his dog, so he wasn't hunting as much. He got the two geese, though, and I think he got one pintail drake, right?
Yeah.
And then, I'm trying to remember what I got yesterday. I think I got a widgeon and a teal. And then I got a teal hen and then a widgeon drake. And then you had, what'd you get, four yesterday?
Yeah.
Remember what you got? You had one spoonie.
I think I had two teal.
Two teal, yeah.
A widgeon and a spoonie.
Okay, yeah. That sounds right, because I'm pretty sure that was what we had then. So that was our total yesterday. And then we hunted right up until... So their duck club, they have an end shoot time of 12 o'clock, like, on the dot. So we hunted up until noon. And then we took off after that. We packed out the decoys and went home. And we ended up just hanging out of the house and stuff. And then we went and spent time with my aunt, both of our aunts.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like a barbecue and stuff at a friend's house. So we went over there for a little while and then came back.
Actually, you had two aunts there.
Yeah. Yeah, they're sisters.
Yeah.
But, and then, we came back that night, and then this morning we were up at 4, same time again, like, we left at, like, 4 or 4:30, somewhere in there, and went out there. The funny thing was, is both mornings, the first morning, my uncle made us breakfast burritos, and, my cousin had packed them, but they're cold, so we were going to heat them up once we got there. And they have like a camper trailer out there, and we didn't have the key. The other blind partner didn't have the key, and we didn't have the key, so we couldn't get in to heat up the burrito. So we didn't eat breakfast the first morning. And then this morning, we got up, or last night, we made the plan that we were going to stop. There's a burrito place that's right when you walk in, or right when you turn to go in towards where all these duck clubs are.
On the drive-in, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like way out in the middle of nowhere, though. It's like right by all the duck clubs. And so he's open now super early in the morning because he caters to duck hunters. And my uncle and cousin were like, oh, we gotta try this, get some breakfast burritos there. They're really good. So we had planned on getting breakfast burritos there. And then we we called in this morning to get him, and he wasn't answering, And then we drove by, and the whole place was all closed and locked up. So we didn't have breakfast again this morning, too. And which makes it a little bit harder to reach the 12 o'clock mark. But both mornings, I think we were so focused, though, on hunting that, like, we didn't really even... I don't know about you, but I didn't really seem hungry until we were leaving, and then I was, like, starving. It was like, okay, we're done hunting. It was like, at least for me, I don't know about you. I know Jake was saying the same thing. Like, we didn't notice we were hungry until we got out of the line, huh?
Yeah, no, it was, I didn't realize I was hungry until, like, we were in the drive-thru for In-N-Out, and I was like...
You're smelling it.
I was like...
Yeah. So, anyways, and then, so today we got out there, didn't have breakfast, and then went and got our blind. We got the same blind again, because we were hoping that it was going to be a little bit better today, because we battled the fog yesterday, and then today, they were supposed to have rain last night, and then today was supposed to be clear. And when we showed up, it was still raining, right? It stopped, like... Stopped like probably what, like
just after shoot time, probably like
within 30 minutes of shoot time somewhere. So it was like right at the beginning of the morning it stopped, but it was raining like the whole walk out to the blinds and everything, which is pretty cool. It's pretty trippy to walk out there on those rice fields that early in the morning, everything raining, but it also made it a lot harder to walk the check.
Yeah,
it's super slippery, but so then today it was just me and Jake and our cousin Jake and Brian, and Jake was basically just calling today. I think he only shot
today.
Like two or three times.
I don't think he shot at all.
No, I know he shot a couple shots, but it was like at two or three times that we all shot at the same time.
Yeah.
But other than that, he was pretty much just calling for us. You know, kind of basically guiding us and showing us what to do. But we did quite a bit better today. I think we pretty much both doubled our take from the day before. Well, you didn't quite double it, but you limited out, so you're kind of stopped by that.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. The last bird I got, there was only 3 minutes left of
that too. Yeah.
Time.
Yeah. So, he got super lucky with that last bird.
Yeah.
We didn't... Remember, Jake was like, oh, we should just leave. We only got, like, 10 minutes left. And I was like, but Brian's, like, one bird away. Let's just wait the 10 minutes. And there was nothing in the sky at the time.
Yeah.
And then right before...
And I did that walk across the entire...
Yeah.
The entire field in the mud and water.
Your number six.
Sucking wind to go get my number six. And it was a spoonie.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't worth it. But I thought, you know what? I might get a limit today, so.
Yeah. But that was,
it's not for the,
like 45 minutes before the end of shoot time. That was still
And
earlier.
You should also clarify that day two we didn't have a dog, so we were fetching our own birds.
Yes, we were fetching our own birds. And we were going to bring our cousin Jake's dog, but we weren't sure. Their other blind partner was supposed to be hunting with us that morning too, but then he ended up canceling, but he didn't let us know until we were already out of the duck club, so we couldn't bring Jake's dog out. But that would have made it a lot easier. But, well, for you guys, luckily you guys were the ones retrieving birds, because my ankle's still all messed up, so I got some nice cousins, so they take care of me. But today was a lot of fun, though. I only shot four ducks, but I got a pintail, which was cool. I'm pretty sure it's the first.
We both got one.
Yeah, we both got pintails. And then I got a teal, a widgeon, and a spoonie. A spoonie drake. And then you got quite a few different things. You got a, what was the first one, a scoop?
Oh, yeah.
Scalp?
Scalp? Scop?
Scop.
Something like that.
Scop. which we had seen. Even my cousin was saying that he doesn't really see those that often there. Like, people don't shoot them that often, at least. And then you had, what, two spoonies? Three spoonies. Three spoonies, because you had two drakes and a hen, right? Spoonies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then you had...
The pintail?
Yeah, the pintail, the three...
Or sprig.
Oh, and then...
And then a widgeon.
You had a widgeon, too.
And a teal?
And a teal.
I think? I don't remember.
Yeah, no, you had a widgeon, a teal, a sprig, or pintail, and then you had the three spoonies. So that's six... What was the seventh one? There was one more thing that you got.
The teal.
That was the teal, right? There was teal, sprig, we got three spoonies, and the, but anyways, you got seven ducks, and so you got his first limit. And you said it was the first limit of anything that you've got besides Pismo clams, you're saying?
Yeah.
So that's
I've never limited out
on quail or dove or
with the exception of Pismo clams. And now that I think about it, probably also on my summer trips.
Trout.
For trout. But that's just
and rockfish.
I never
You've never gotten the 10? Like your full 10?
No.
Oh really?
Uh-uh.
It's because you got to go on one of my charters. But yeah, I've limited on quail multiple times, but years ago, and then I pulled limits of dove, and I don't know. I'm trying to remember now because I think the last time I came up and duck hunted. I feel like we left because we had limits, but I wonder if it was, is there a limit on speckled boll geese?
Yeah.
How many is it?
I don't know.
Is it like two or three?
Per person?
Yeah.
No.
It's a lot?
Yeah, I think.
Because I know the snows they were saying it was 20.
Yeah.
But I don't think specks are that much, are they?
Specks fall into the category of like seven birds a day. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know.
But, because as I said, the first time that I went, I know we got a bunch of speckled like geese. The first time that I ever went with Johnny and Jake. And I felt like there was a reason why we left. Like, we had a limit of something that was...
I think it might be like five or something. I don't know. I remember.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if we limited on... Because I know we got a lot of geese that day. We didn't get a lot of ducks, I felt like. So I don't think we limited on ducks. But we might have limited on geese and like pintail or something. I don't know what it was that we did. It's been a long time, like 7 or 8 years since I did it. But yeah, it was a really fun time. We ended up canceling. We were gonna do a hunt club hunt.
Pay to play.
Yeah, like where you pay and they do the planted birds with pheasant and chucker. We were going to do that the second day, but then we ended up deciding to go after more ducks because there was a lot of opportunity and we were not shooting very well. So we wanted to kind of a second shot of redemption, I think.
Yeah.
That's so we ended up going that route, doing the ducks. And it's also, I mean, we don't have a lot of those fields down by us, but it's not very often that we get to go duck hunting, especially in a duck club, like, because we're both not members of duck clubs, so. But yeah, it was I had a really good time.
There's not too many opportunities that I know of if you're not going to some sort of club or refuge.
Yeah, well, that's the other refuge hunting, but
I did the Salton Sea a few times.
Yeah,
but that is rough terrain.
Yeah,
and it's just stinky and gross.
Yeah, I've kind of wanted to just go out there just to check it out, because I've never hunted around the Salton Sea, but I feel like that's one of those places where you got to have somebody take you.
Definitely need a quad.
Yeah.
And definitely got to be willing to work your ass off I mean, if you don't want to get out, go chase your own birds. I mean, it is so muddy and nasty. And
so you guys actually chased them, or you sit there trying to call them in?
Oh, no. We called them in. We went and sat in, like, natural blinds.
Yeah. Like you make your own little
spot. Like tulies.
Yeah.
You know, we make our own little spot in the tulies. But those guys hunted completely different than, like, John and Jake. Yeah. They never set it, set up decoys, because I saw them and they did have a few. So what they did was they'd go build blinds, even though it's all public land, they'd go build blinds in random spots. So they'd just go check to see if ducks were in that area. If there were, they'd sit in there, and then they never called, and they only shot, like, the flybys. They just, like, never called. Just if a duck flew by, they would shoot at it.
Yeah.
I like it way better doing, like, for instance, today, when I actually got to sit there and call a duck for the first time, and I saw it circle back around, like, to me, that was even more fun than actually shooting the duck. I was having more fun trying to call him in.
Yeah, I noticed that. Like, you and Jake were both having a blast. I think, like, because Jake was calling a lot more today than he was yesterday.
Well, that's because we didn't have John.
Yeah, because John's, you know, he's a really good caller, so he was the one that was doing most of the calling. But today, Jake was, like, our main caller, and then you were, like, the backup. But it was cool because, yeah, like you said, like, I mean, you and, like, you had that one call that you were doing, the mallard one, was, like, it seemed like it was working really good to turn ducks.
It's called a comeback.
The comeback?
Yeah, the comeback call.
And, yeah, it was just, like... And
Jake was actually, like, pretty impressed with it. That was, like, gave me more confidence to...
Yeah. Well, because it was, like, stopping them. Like, the birds would be flying almost away, and then you would make the call, and it was like they would just cut and turn back to us.
That's why it's called the comeback.
Yeah, because it was, like, it was crazy how much they would actually respond to that. Because, like, we watched it happen, like, multiple times over and over again. So it was really cool because, I mean, we didn't even see any mallards,
but the mallard call worked
for them to, like,
come back.
Know, get them to flip around and come back. So that was pretty cool. And it was cool watching you guys. You guys even got, like, Jake called in that one pair real low, and then you guys both were working that group of, like, five.
The speckle bellies,
yeah, the big geese. And they were, those ones are a lot harder to call in because they're very, well, like, blind shy, I guess you'd say. Like, they seem to notice the stuff, like, they seem to notice the blind or anything looking at them and stuff like that. So you gotta be super cautious of, like, looking up in the sky because they'll see all the eyes. The ducks are a little bit more, like, they just kind of come in. Like, as long as you're not out in the open, they'll kind of circle back around and come land by decoys and stuff. But what would you say is, like, your favorite part of the trip?
My favorite part of the trip was
getting in and out on the way back.
Yeah, exactly.
That was, like, the most satisfying meal.
Well, I have two favorite parts, actually.
Yeah.
One favorite part was today shooting the sprig on our own without...
Yeah, calling them down, because the rest
of the time we've always had John with us, and John's like, hey, shoot that one, you know, or here they come, and he's calling them in, and he tells us, get ready. Today we didn't have that coaching.
Yeah.
So I had more pride in that one I got today on the pintail.
Definitely.
Because we called it in on our own, and it came in, and we popped up, and I can identify
which one
was the male. And I only know that because of sitting with them and listening to them tell us what's what.
Yeah.
But I popped up and could identify which one was the male and shot and
dropped them, yeah.
Dropped them. And so that one was my favorite part of, I wouldn't say the trip, I'd say of the hunt.
Yeah.
Because I also, my favorite part was hanging out with Megan and Jake and Johnny and going out to the barbecue with Shelly.
Yeah.
And
The whole trip.
The whole trip was really fun. And I really liked that it was, we've never hunted together.
Yeah.
So it was our first time ever hunting together, which was, it was an experience.
Yeah.
You and I were, I guess I was yelling at you a little too much about stuff.
Oh, well, okay, well, we'll explain a little bit. So, in the blind, he was, yesterday he kept doing it too, but I think it was because I was, the blind that I was in yesterday, though, was not covered up. It was the least covered up hole of all three of them, or all four of the holes. So, like, I was kind of out in the open. Like, there wasn't, like, it didn't cover. They have, like, these little blind things that cover you that fold up. And they just didn't cover the top of me. So, I was already more exposed than everybody else. And then I'm the biggest guy out there, too.
And you didn't have
so I stand out.
You didn't have a face mask or a camo hat, so.
Yeah, the first day I didn't have a face mask or a camo hat. So then, right off the bat, like, my forehead was sweaty from hiking out there and wet. So it was, like, shiny. So it was, like, it was just standing out. So they were like, oh, you gotta cover up your forehead. So then John gave me a beanie. So I put a beanie on. And then I think I was just so super exposed. So every time Ryan was, he was in the next blind over, but we were right next to each other. Like, the two blinds are, like, you know, arms distance apart. So every time he'd look over, he's looking over and seeing me fully exposed.
Looking
face up in the sky. And he's like, Tyler, you gotta cover your face. You gotta cover your face. So, like, all day yesterday I was hearing that. And then today we sat next to each other, and we sat the same ones that him and John had sat in the day before, and they were a lot more covered. But Brian was also just sitting right next to me, so once again, there's no cover in between us. Like, there was no cover in between us. So he's looking over and he's seeing me, and he's like, oh, you gotta get down. And I'm like looking up, going, this thing is completely covering me. Like, what's the point of me getting down lower? Like, than I already am, because there's a roof, you know, a shelter over the top of me. But, like, he was looking over from right next to me, going, oh, you're standing up, you gotta get down low. And I'm like, that, from above, they can't see anything because there's a roof over me, basically, you know? But it was funny.
That you had issues with talking loud.
Oh, yeah. The issue with talking loud was, he kept going, shh. And then I finally started to catch on that every time he said, shh, he was trying to make a call. So,
I'm just like, man.
He wanted him to be quiet.
I mean,
yeah, we would be talking back and forth, and then, like, I'd be talking to Jake or something, or we'd point out birds, and then he'd be like, shh, shh, because he's, like, trying to call. Which was just funny, because most of the other times, like, with John and Jake, they don't say shh. They just would do a loud call, and then you'd be quiet, because there's a loud call going on. But it was fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, we didn't get mad.
And the other favorite part of the trip was the, so this is take two, right? This is this is take two.
Yep.
So my other favorite part of the trip was take one.
Take one, we had, like, a giggle attack in the car. I think we're just hilarious, to be honest. But, yeah, so we had to stop the podcast. We only got, like, I think into the first part where I was telling people.
I couldn't stop laughing. I was laughing so hard, and I don't know why. I just thought about doing a podcast in a car,
talking out loud.
Yeah, we're
to,
like,
ourselves.
We're on a 6-hour drive, and you're like, I'm doing this podcast. I was like, I just thought it was odd. And yeah. I just was laughing.
Yeah.
And then you asked me about the
about the Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah,
and I lost it. And then you were like, we gotta try this later. And I was like, oh my gosh. All right, so then I stopped it. But, yeah, that was pretty funny. My side still hurts from laughing afterwards, too, because then I found it hilarious. But anyways,
I don't know if there's a way, but you should put the part one
at the end of this one so they can hear it.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. But, all right, well, So we kind of talked. Now we're just driving back home. We didn't leave until like 3, so we'll be back in Ohio around 9, a little after 9 probably, because we stopped for a little bit. We stopped at Harris Ranch again. We didn't get Rocky Mountain Oysters this time. We just stuck to
the Express.
Yeah, the Express like walk-up counters that they have over there. But
oh, hey,
what's up? Oh, we're getting ready to turn.
Are we?
Get off the 5. Yeah, we'll go this way.
All right.
Yeah, so we'll go back over the 33. So we're just about ready to get on the 33, and hopefully we'll be home before 10 o'clock. We'll be sweet.
2 hours and 12 minutes.
What time is it? It is 7. Yeah, it'll be like just after 9. Yeah. So.
Plus, we'll probably need to stop and get gas.
Oh, yeah. That'd be smart, so we don't run out on the 33.
Yeah. That would suck.
So, if we do, I guess we got some ducks we can eat, right? If we can start a fire.
Yeah.
But,
so,
all right.
So, here's what we're doing real quick. Just
With our duck?
Yeah, we're going to do sausages. We're going to get the snow geese and the spoonies and the sprouse.
Not sprouse. It was a
spouse.
Scouse.
Whatever.
Scoop.
No.
Scop.
That's what it is.
Scop.
Anyway, yeah. We're going to get...
All those told us that they're not that great tasting.
Everyone says those aren't that great.
So we're going to grind them up.
And
make some sausage.
And then
I kind of want to do the sausage like sticks. Like the little snack sticks would be good. That's what Johnny was saying. We should do some of those. Like pepper sticks.
Yeah.
I think I'd stretch it. We're going to Button Willow.
Yeah, we got to go Button Willow. We got to call somebody.
Yeah.
I got a tradition about going through a Button Willow.
Yeah, he calls your brother-in-law, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, our cousin Dave. He calls him. How did it start?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Somebody was,
to be honest,
was it
I
you
don't.
Or him that was driving through it or something?
Yeah, one of us. I want to say it was me, but his story might be different. But
asked where you were.
I could have swore I was driving through Button Willow, and I called him while driving through, and for just some reason I thought Button Willow was just kind of like a funny
little town.
Yeah, so then I called him, just like, hey, I'm driving through old Button Willow, have you ever heard of old Button Willow? And he started laughing, and
so now you guys call each other.
So now every time one of us is driving through Button Willow, we call each other going, hey, I'm just driving through old Button Willow. I say, old Button Willow phone call.
You guys got like an old man sense of humor with your traditions on that stuff.
Yeah.
I like it. But all right, so yeah, we're just heading home now, and I'll be probably posting pictures and stuff of when we process all these ducks. We're bringing them back all whole. We saved the ones from yesterday, and we just combined them with the ones today, and just to save time, we decided instead of waiting longer and cleaning them there, we just decided to bring them home. So we're going to bring them home, and then we'll clean them and stuff tomorrow. I'll put them in my my outdoor refrigerator, and then we'll clean them up and stuff tomorrow. And then Jake was saying that we were supposed to brine at least the ones that are we're going to steak and stuff. But we'll probably brine all of them.
Brine everything, but the except for maybe the speckle belly. I don't even want to mess with that. I don't want to.
Oh, okay. I think he said all of them, even the speckled bellies too, because it's supposedly
maybe
it's supposed to help pull the blood and stuff out, and just makes them a little more mild tasting, I guess, not as strong. So we'll probably do that. We'll clean them up and then brine them. He said to brine them like 24 hours or something, and then we can vacuum seal them and freeze them. And then, I don't know, maybe we'll plan a day this week to make sausage or something. I'll figure it out. But so I'll be posting pictures and stuff about that, and let you guys know what we do with the ducks. And I'll also be posting a bunch of pictures of all the photos and stuff from the trip. So until next time, I guess, we'll probably do another one when we go hunting again soon. And, you have anything else you want to say, Brian, or
no?
Anything else about the trip? No? So, All right. Well, I hope you guys are having a good week, and I will talk to you guys next time. Thank you for listening.